continue our study on prayer, look at with me in John chapter number 14. Book of John in chapter number 14, Jesus is approaching the cross and making his way to the cross. And these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, are filled with instruction for the disciples before the Lord goes to the cross. He's giving them some final instructions, some many different lessons, but he speaks repetitively about prayer. Because prayer was and is so important for the believer's life. And he says here in John chapter 14, look with me real quick in verse number 13, John 14, verse number 13. And we've preached on some of these verses before. But he says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified." Verse 14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." In John chapter number 15, the Lord continues his instructions. In verse number 16, 15, 16, says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." In John chapter number 16, he continues giving him some instructions. John 16 and verse number 23. John 16 verse 23, it says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Look down at verse number 26. "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." You see, in all these instructions, and we've talked about some of these already, we probably will refer to them again in the next few weeks, but as he's given his final instructions on prayer, he repeats something in these verses that we've yet to talk about. He repeats that phrase in these verses that they are to ask, and ask anything, whatsoever you shall ask. But he adds this, he says in every one of these verses, "In my name." In my name. He said, anything you ask in my name, whatsoever ye will ask in my name. You see, praying in the name of Jesus is not just our only plea. It is our all-sufficient plea. It's all we need. I'm going to give you a few statements tonight that just are statements to keep in mind. The kind of statements I write down in my Bible or in a note or somewhere. Here's one of them. The power of prayer and answer to prayer depends upon the right use of his name. The power of prayer and answer to prayer depends upon the right use of his name. Now, we've all gotten used to praying that way. I mean, pretty much any time that we pray, we'll close our prayer saying something in the name of Jesus we pray, or in his name we pray, or something. And that's right to do. That's what the Lord instructed us to do. Why do we do it? What does it mean, praying in his name? I think in my life, I'll just say this in my life, I don't know about you, that I've repeated that phrase because that's what has always been prayed, and I do it sometimes and many times often in my life in these 45 years and haven't thought much about what I just said. I'll wrap up my prayer, "In Jesus' name we pray, amen." What did I just say? What do I mean when I say that? I want you to consider a couple of things tonight as we look about, because the Lord, obviously, this is something he wants us to do. Amen? He says it over and over again. Matter of fact, it was something that up until this point had not been done. They had never done it. John 16, verse number 24, we just read it. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Up to this point, they had never done this. Now Jesus specifically, in these final lessons to the disciples, repeated it not once, not twice, three times, four times, five times, to pray in his name. And he even makes the point to say, now you haven't done this yet, but you're to do it now. Obviously, it's more than just a salutation at the end. Obviously, there's more to it than just something we should say. Obviously, there's something of great importance in praying in the name of Jesus. Because if it wasn't important, he would not have ever told them to do it, and he especially wouldn't have made them stop and understand, you haven't done this before, but you're to do it now. What does it mean to pray in his name? A couple things. Number one, I want you to think about the representation of a name. The representation of a name. When we say a name, you think of certain things. When I say Travis Burke, your mind goes to things. Hopefully one of them's pastor. Hopefully the rest of them you can actually talk about and it's friendly, all right? But something comes to your name. When you say the name Bill Sutherland, things come to your thoughts. When we say the name Donald Trump, things come to your thoughts. When we say the name, whoever it may be, Jordan Wilson, Rick Salee. No matter who it is, when we mention their name, things come to your thoughts immediately. What comes to your thoughts? You think on things that represent that person to us. Basically, what you think about when I say Travis Burke, or someone, you meet someone and you say, do you know Travis Burke? Something comes to your mind. What comes to your mind is this, what you know about him. No matter who it is. When I say, Larry Wilson, things come to your mind. What comes to your mind? Things that you know about him, the impression that he has made upon you. What you know about him, who he is, what he does. When we pray, we should stop and understand when we're praying in his name. I don't think that Christ was necessarily telling us to say these words every time we pray, not that it's wrong, but he was more concerned that we understood why we were praying. We are praying in the name of Christ. What does his name represent? He's wonderful. He's our God. He's our shepherd. He's our counselor. We sing the song, there's just something about that name. Isn't the name of Jesus something wonderful? He's our mediator. He's our friend. I could go on and on and on tonight. How great is that name? Amen. We love and we praise the name of Jesus. And when we pray, we are praying and we should understand who we're praying to and what this is all about. In other words, when I pray in his name, right, when we just bowed our head and pray, we pray to the Father. But we pray in Jesus' name. When we prayed, can I ask you a biblical question here, which I hope we know the answer. What does Jesus do when we pray? He intercedes for us. He did everything so we could pray. Amen. And when we bring our prayers, he is our mediator, the Bible says. He intercedes on our behalf. So when we bring these requests to God, our minds should be focused upon the fact when we pray that this is for Christ. This is for his name. When I pray in confidence. He's my mediator. He's my intercessor. And he loves me. Amen? He's everything to me. And so the representation of a name. Number two, I think we should pray in his name because there is respect of a name. Respect. A couple thoughts underneath this. Number one, a thought of tribute. When we come in someone else's name, when we come, again, when we pray, we don't pray in our name. That sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? Can you imagine closing a prayer saying, "And in Travis's name I pray"? That's blasphemous. Of course not. Because I'm nothing. And so are you. But we come to his name because there is a tribute there. There is power and authority because of what his name represents. We cracked down, a couple years ago in school because, after homeroom class, not that they're all graduated, so only good kids are left, right? After homeroom, I'm kidding. They would roam around sometimes, believe it or not. They didn't want to go right back to class, right? And we really, clamped down on that. Get back where you should be, right? But every once in a while, you'd see a kid walking through about 8:45 into the school building, and he didn't go to the bathroom, or she didn't go to the bathroom. And I'd stick my head out of the office and say, "What are you doing?" And they'd look at me and say, "Brother Salih sent me to get him coffee." Many of you young people have been sent on that coffee run, all right? Brother Coy, you ever been sent on a coffee run?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? Many. Now, if they were just walking around, they got in trouble. But when they used that name, it was okay. You follow me? Because going in that name was going in an authority. Coy didn't have the authority to be walking around, but he went in Brother Salih's authority. Following me? When we go to the God in prayer, I'm nothing. I don't deserve it. But I can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and mercy in my time of need because I go in Jesus' name. And I go to the Lord and bring my request to him because there is a tribute there of authority and power in his name. Not only a tribute, but a trust. Now you have to follow me on this, a trust. This is the part we don't consider enough. When someone gives you the authority to use their name, they're trusting you. I'll stick with Coy, all right? When Brother Salih sent Coy to get him coffee, he was trusting Coy to do what? The moment Coy went down the other hallway and was playing around in the locker room, he was breaking that trust. And I'd say he wouldn't be picked tomorrow to go get coffee. Follow me? Sometimes the boss may be out of town or some job, and picture this fictitious scenario I'm painting, and the boss is going to be gone, but he gives to his clerk the authority to buy and sell. There's trust there. The one in authority is resting in assurance that you're going to carry out, look at me, his business. Amen? That's why you're doing it in his name. When we pray, Jesus said, "Pray in my name." And not only is it just a matter of authority and power to be able to go in the name of Jesus, but what we're praying about, ready, should be about his business. Amen? That's why we can pray. See, I can only pray about spiritual things. It is his business that my family do right. It's his business that I pay my bills. It's his business that we obviously do church and do things right. It's his business that I have a good testimony. It's all his business. It's his business that when my car's broken down, that it needs to get fixed so I can go to work. That's all his business and for his glory. But when I pray that way, it changes everything. I know I've used it before, but Brother Dan Souza, he's giving an illustration every time he's preached at missions conference. Every time he needs new cars on his tires, you remember what he said? "God, your car needs new tires." What's he doing? It's all for his business. So I'm praying for my wayward child to come back to the Lord. I know that's his business. The Lord's all about that. Keep on praying. But when you pray in His name. It's for your glory, God. I think that's why a lot of times, and this is what James chapter 4 and verse number 3 means, when the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. A lot of times we bring our prayer list to God, and we want it because we want it. And if our mind is not this prayer request, God, for your glory, this prayer request, God, because this is your business, this is to be done for you, my life is yours, it's a complete attitude change when we pray. We're praying in His name. And the Lord is trusting us to be about His business. Amen? And His business is the kingdom. His business is the church. His business is our lives, and our lives glorifying Him. All of a sudden, my purpose and my interests need to be set aside, and my prayer life should be about His interest and His purpose. I did not say not to pray about health. I did not say not to pray about your car. I'm saying absolutely pray for those things, but in knowledge of the fact that it's all about you, God. Amen? It's all about your glory. So it's a matter of tribute, it's a matter of trust, and it's a matter, and this has nothing to do with the president, so get that out of your system, but it's a matter of trumping. So what do you mean by that? When we go to the Lord in prayer, we're surrendering our name. And all that matters is who He is. And my prayer life better be nothing about who I am. His name becomes the only thing that matters. And again, I'm probably presenting something that really is in my life and probably yours, some very revolutionary ideas here. It shouldn't be, but we just have gotten away from it. And we don't think about it much. But when we pray, I'm not going to tell God what I need. Ready? I'm going to share with God what I believe the Lord wants. My name is set aside. His name, I like to play rook. When you play the trump card, beats everything. Follow me? His name is all that matters. With that, think about this with me real quick, because I think there's something here for you to consider. Number one, underneath this, there's an identifying. When we pray, we're identifying with Christ. We're identifying with what His will is. Prayer should be all about, listen to the statement, prayer should be all about His will, His purpose, and His plan. It's a matter of identifying. But I want to get to this point. Number two is a matter of an interconnection. He's given us His name. I've never closed a prayer in Travis's name. I hope you've never closed a prayer in Travis Burke's name, right? Because that was a waste of breath. I hope you don't close your prayer in your own name, because who are we to pray in whose name? Christ's name. He's given us that name. Now, maybe this will help make sense of life, some of those things that we've just gotten so far away don't think about anymore. When our son Alex is sick tonight. When Alex was born, he had a last name. Anybody know what that last name was? It's not a trick question, right? Yeah, right? It was Burke. Why was he assigned that name? Well, there was never a debate about it, right? It was never in question. They did ask what his first name would be. They asked what his middle name would be. But they did not ask what his last name was. Because we get that name from life. He got life from his parents. And so he bears the name of who gave him life. Did you know that's why we do that? Right? That's why you have the last name that you have, right? because you were given to it at life. When we pray in the Lord's name. You know why? He gave us life. We bear His name. I am Wayne Burke's son. And because I bear that name, there's been many things that I've got to do because I was Wayne Burke's son. I'm just telling you. Being a preacher's kid must be miserable. Nope. It's awesome. Right? Yes. There are negatives, but the pros far away is awesome. There were things that I would go and they would say, no one's allowed to do this. And somehow it would come up. Well, that's Brother Burke's son. All right, go ahead. Yeah. My friend Matt, who's been here the last couple services, he used to call it, we made a joke, like a credit card. He called it the Master Burke card. He's like, I hang out with you because you get to do things. All right, you know, and because that last name, whatever, you say you're prideful. It just happened. Get over it. All right, it's okay. All right. Because that, but there were also times, ready, here's the other part, when I did something really stupid and I heard the same statement in a complete tone. You're Brother Burke's son. Aren't you Wayne Burke's son? Aren't you Pastor Burke's son? Yes. Because when you bear the name, the character and the name should back each other up. We are to pray in whose name? Christ's name. And the name and our character should be in harmony. Because when Travis Burke quit acting like Wayne Burke's son, when Travis Burke was rebellious, Travis Burke lost privileges and rights. When we pray, we're to pray in Jesus' name. We bear His name because He gave us life. Amen? Amen? So when we pray, we come bearing the name of the Lord. But there's a second way you can get a name. One is through life. You become a son. But the second is this. Through love, as you become a spouse. On June the 21st, 1997, Stacy Napier became Stacy Burke. She gave up her name and she received mine. Did you know the reason why, by the way, the world's trying to change this and attack this, but the reason why the spouse, the bride, always takes the name of the bridegroom? That's why it had always been that way. Study me out, all right? That's why it was that way. When the day we got married, Stacy Napier became Stacy Burke, and with it, full rights to everything in my name. She got a debit card that attaches to my account. She can write checks that take money out of my account. Because guess what? It's not all mine anymore. It's ours. Our car insurance all of a sudden said Travis and Stacy Burke. Because we are one. You follow me? We no longer have an independent lives. We are one. My interest is her interest. Amen? My goals should be shared goals with her. Amen? Our lives became one. The moment you became saved, are you following me? Amen. He, the bridegroom, you, the bride, you became one. Amen? Amen? You're in Christ and Christ in you. So that's hard to fathom. Well, so is marriage, but we're one. I speak into you a mystery, husbands and wives, but I speak into you concerning Christ and the church. And the moment that we got married, our lives were brought into one, and now I don't have my agenda and she has her agenda. We work together as husband and wife. And if she has to go to the bank and get money out of our account, all she has to do is show that she is Stacy Burke. And she has access to it all. She bears my name. Amen? When we pray in His name. You know why? He's accepted us. We're His. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. And when I pray to God the Father, God looks at me not as Travis Burke. Amen? If she goes to the bank and tries to prove she's Stacy Napier, she's not getting a penny out of that account. Amen. Are you following me on that? Y'all staring at me. Does that make sense? If I die and she goes and tries to collect a health or life insurance policy under Stacy Napier, she's not getting a penny. But the moment she shows that's Stacy Burke, it's all hers. Amen. When we pray, you ought to be more excited about this. When we pray, we go to Him in His name, in the name of Jesus. And God says, well, of course, it's all yours. Amen. Now, she tries to go according to her. She says, I'm leaving you, Travis. I'm going to take every penny out there. And she tries to run away. There's some things that are going to, bad things going to happen. I'm going to fight that. She would never do that. But all right. With the Lord, you try to run and live in rebellion against the Lord, your prayer life's going to struggle too. But when you go in the will of God and His love and you love Him and you're walking in His will and all you're praying for is what you know He would want in your life, God the Father says, of course. Of course. It's yours. Amen? There is a identifying and an interconnection. Praise the Lord for that. The respect of a name. Number three, we'll wrap this up, the relation of a name. The relation of a name. The power, here's another one of those statements I'd encourage you to think about. The power His name has on my life is the power His name will have in my prayers. I just want you to stop and consider that with me tonight. The relation of a name. The power His name has on my life is the power His name will have in my prayers. Are you following what I'm saying there? If I live my life in His name, if I live my life for His glory, my prayer life changes. That's why Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the what? Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do it in His name. Well, however you live, do it for the glory of God. And when we do all in His name, then we can ask all in His name. When His name rules my life, by the way, I put it really simple. It matters how you live, Christian. If you're going to disregard this book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. And if you disregard the Word, your prayer life is going to struggle. Again, how are we to pray? In whose name? Consider Psalm 138, verse number 2. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The name of Jesus is awesome. I can't even begin to give it the glory it deserves tonight. But this book has been magnified above His name. That's what it says. In other words, if Travis Burke decides, hey, I want to pray, but I sure am not doing all this stuff, my prayer life's going to be zilch. No effectiveness if I disregard the Word. A lot of Christians struggle with prayer and they never see some answers to prayer and they wonder why when they live with known sin in their life. You need to confess it tonight and get it out of our lives. If we disregard His Word, we're disregarding his name. Because he is the Word. Here's another one of those statements. I told you like three of them. Here's a third one. As we bear his name before men, we have the power to use his name before God. As we bear his name before men, we have the power to use his name before God. That's what Matthew chapter number 10 is talking about when Jesus said these words in verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." I've heard some people say that, "I want to stand up and not deny him because I surely don't want him to deny me and me go to hell." That is not what that verse is talking about. You can't lose your salvation. Peter denied Jesus three times. He never lost his salvation. So what did the Lord mean when he said, "But whosoever shall deny me before men"? Can you put that verse up, Brother Ben? Is that possible? Matthew chapter 10, verse number 33. All right, what did he mean? "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." What's he mean? He simply means this, that if we disregard this book, if we don't live for the name of Christ, if we don't live for the glory of Christ, if we just live our own way, disregarding his word and his ways, try praying. What is he doing when we pray? He's interceding. He's a mediator, amen? You live a life of blasphemy to God, you've hurt your mediator. You deny him before men, he'll deny you before God. May his name be supreme in our life. May his name be everything. I close with this, the rejoicing in his name. Close, look here in John 16 and verse number 24. He said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Haven't done it yet, but now you're supposed to ask and ye shall receive. What's the last part of that verse say? That your joy may be full. When we pray, let's think about what we said tonight. When we pray and know what that name represents, when we pray with the respect that that name deserves, and we understand that we're praying not because it's us, but because it's all under his authority, and that God has entrusted us to use his name for his purpose and for his glory and for his kingdom, and when we know that we're praying and we're identifying with him as he has given us life and we have received his name, we are his bride and he has given us his name and with it all that is God's. When we understand the relation of his name, that my life needs to back up if I need to bear the name of Christ every day, and then I can pray in that name as well. The end result is you're happy. You're joyful. You know what it says? It doesn't say, "Do all these things, pray in my name," that your joy will be hit and miss. That there's a chance that you might have a good day. No, it says we pray that our joy may be what? Full. When we bear his name, when we pray in his name, that is a rewarding life to walk with God. To bear the name of Christ. I really believe when we pray, it's more than in Jesus' name we pray. It's more than just a saying. It's a representation. It is a matter of respect. It's a matter of relationship. It's a matter of rejoicing to pray in the name of Christ. Stop and consider it. That's ours. Praise God.